along with understanding obedience, we have to understand a little bit about disobedience. Disobedience to obey the Lord and how we disobey Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's start with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Semicolon. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This word for carnal is an interesting word. This literally means the Greek word sarkikos, carnal. And that word literally means under a fleshly nature. That which is produced under a fleshly nature. Now let's go on. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of fortresses, casting down reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, bringing into submission every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, this word for thought is a very interesting word. It is a word design, or it is a product of the mind. It says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness, being prepared, notice this, to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, or the word complete. Now, I want you to notice that he's saying, first of all, that our armor for this warfare is not usable. You can't use this type of armor under a carnal or a fleshly nature. Right. Now, hold your place here and get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And how many of you know we're going to learn some good stuff here this morning? Amen. Yeah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to say something about the Corinthian church that's very interesting. Do you know that the Corinthian church was very charismatic minded? Did you guys know that? Matter of fact, Paul had to do something with that charismatic church. He had to get their zeal turned in the right direction, because they were on fire for God. Do you know what happens to a believer that's on fire for God, but yet his zeal is not according to knowledge? You know what that's called? Disaster. Did you know that more believers are more influenced to turn away from that which is spiritual simply because those who have a zeal for God but are not according to knowledge, turn more believers off from that which is charismatic? We're living in a time period of the church where we're looking for seeker-friendly things, because there was a time period where spiritual issues got to the point where it got weird. People were getting up, giving all kinds of weird prophecies. They were coming with titles. and got into the prophetic ministry, and weird things begin to come out of that, and people begin to put titles on themselves, and then their charismatic influence turned a whole lot of Christians off that were literally, not that they were against the knowledge of God, but really they just didn't want the weirdness that went with the charismatic culture, so to speak. Thank God, God has protected my heart from being influenced by weird people. You know, just because somebody's weird don't mean I have to join the weirdness. You know what I mean? I can be different. Just because there are hypocrites in the church isn't going to keep me from church. Amen. What? Because they're in every church. That's an excuse not to go to church. That's all that is. And so Paul had to do something with the Corinthian church. He had to do something with their zeal. He had to point their zeal in the right direction and right reflection so that people don't think that you're crazy or mad. You know, I heard a testimony of a lot of you when we first started by His Word. It got to the point where we almost had a move of God in every service. And people were always going out under the power. Matter of fact, it was so much so that people that came to our church that was not familiar with our church literally thought that was a way to receive from God. And many of them just voluntarily laid on the floor. And I said, what are you doing? This one lady, she says, well, I'm getting down. And I says, well, why are you laying on the floor? She said, well, everybody else does. She just thought that was how you receive from God, is lay on the floor like everybody else. And over a course of time, it seemed like we'd gotten away from that, you know, so to speak. Well, every church grows a little bit. It's not that we get away from a move of God, but we can become more educated in how we present ourselves to the Spirit of God. Are you following what I'm saying? But just because in all of that, just because some people are acting weird, doesn't mean that we need to be affected by that. We need to keep our charismatic culture about us. Are you following what I'm saying? Just because we all break out and dance doesn't mean, just because some of them that break out and dance with us does it according to flesh, doesn't mean we all need to stop dancing before the Lord. We need to do more dancing before the Lord in our church. You know? And just because some people look like they're doing the goose step, a Gestapo march, you know, or get real flamboyant, you know, whatever it is, you know, doesn't mean that we still can't dance before the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, we've kind of gotten away, the church as a whole, not just our church, but churches as a whole, they're getting more and more away from the charisma of spiritual things. I think we need to get deeper into the charisma of spiritual things. But a lot of it's predicated on how people will handle the presence of the Lord in the service. You know, I think that you and I would have a supernatural, greater presence of God in a service if most of us kept ourselves out of the service. You know, it seems like everybody, when we start having a move of God, everybody wants to come up and prophesy. Everybody wants to take over. And a lot of times it's just God speaking to you, not really to the whole church. And you could put a damper on a move of God in our midst. And we've had some blowouts in our church. I've seen people, some people get the fire of God on them and run around our sanctuary. And you know what? I knew it was of God. I knew God was really in that person running. But you know what? Nobody was offended. We all agreed with it. Because the presence of God, all of us bear witness with it. Because we're all involved in it. But if someone has a lot of zeal, and the church is more in a worshipful atmosphere, more of in a romantic type of atmosphere, when I say worshipful, and then you have one person jumps up and starts screaming and prophesying and everything, you know they're out of sync. Why? Because the church as a whole is not moving in that direction. And so somebody's got to stand up and force the whole church where they're at. It's a form of pride. And a lot of times when people are used of God, when you guys are used of God and you have a prophetic utterance, sometimes just deliver the utterance of the exhortation without all the drama. I know some people that every time they go to give an exhortation, they want everybody to think they're under such an anointing they can't hardly walk. Now, does that mean that somebody can't get under that anointing and not be able to walk? Yes, amen. I've been a product of that. But sometimes you can discern whether they're really under the anointing or they're under their own flesh. You know. Now, why did I get into that? Well, because the Corinthian church was very, very charismatic, but they had no brains to go with it. They had no brains to go with it. And people that are more concerned about the charismatic side of something rather than the stability of their life, usually they're the ones that miss God more than anybody else, and yet they want everybody to think that they appear real spiritual. And yet their own life is not in order. They're not listening to the Word of God to apply it to their life because they think they have such an in with God that somehow they're exempt from correction. Oh, aren't you glad you're all here today? Praise God. Amen. So we're talking about obedience, but we have to understand disobedience. It's very interesting. The word to disobey or to be in disobedience, first of all, according to 1 Samuel 15:23, which the person who committed this kind of crime was appointed by God to be the king over Israel, and yet this particular individual got into rebellion or disobedience. And how many of you know who I'm talking about? Saul. I hate to use names, but Saul is where he is, so we won't have to be concerned about Saul. But Saul got to the place where he wanted to please people more than he did God. And it said in that verse that rebellion is the same as witchcraft. The word witchcraft is a very interesting word. Most of us don't understand what it really means. We think it's some kind of potion or spell that somebody gets under. But the term witchcraft means to seek advice after knowing the will of God. Or to seek advice outside of God. That's what witchcraft literally means. It means to turn to another source for information. And I know Christians that look at the newspaper and try to predict their day by what the astrology or astronomers say. Well, they're just seeking other advice other than being led by the Spirit of God. We go over to Hong Kong and they have this placemat. And it tells you what kind of animal you are from the time you're born. And you look at that and we all joke about it. But when I was born, I ended up am I a monkey? I guess I'm a monkey and I'm supposed to stay away from tigers or I can't remember. But anyway, so you look at these placemats and that's where witchcraft comes from. It means seeking for information outside of the scope of what God is. God is. And Christians have a tendency to do this. You need to be careful with that because it's a form of disobedience. To disobey. The word disobey comes from a very interesting Greek word. It's directed, or it's connected directly to the word apathy. It means one who loses interest in the things of God. That's where disobedience comes from. And see, some of my commentaries brought out the fact that disobedience means a failure to hear. Which is amazing to me because the word disobedience does not give that indication. It means someone who has heard something but is not obedient to it. It doesn't mean someone hasn't heard something. It means someone who has heard something but does not do it or perform it. And so this is a word connected directly to Adam. And we brought out very clearly when I started this, it says that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being caught in the transgression, the reason she got caught into it is that she was caught up in the deception, not Adam. And the word was not deceived literally means he was not seduced to error. In other words, he made a choice after having heard God. He literally made a choice to do what? To seek another source for information. It was a form of witchcraft. Because he said he disobeyed God. He allowed himself the condition of being unpersuadable by God and insubordinate to God by receiving other information outside of God. Isn't that interesting? So disobedience is a very serious thing. Now, the Lord shared with me that when believers begin to know the will of God, until they know the will of God, whatever area the will of God is expressed in, until that person does not know that will, until he comes to knowing the will of God, he's not considered rebellious. Rebellion is not a part of a believer who is ignorant of what the Word of God has to say. But the minute a believer knows what the will of God is for their life and they disobey it, they have now entered into the spirit of rebellion. And when you are in a spirit of rebellion, then you're more subject to a form of witchcraft than at any other time, because it's not one who casts a spell over you. Witchcraft means one who looks for other information that does not come from God. So when we talk about a person who is seduced, it literally means one who has received doctrine or information that has literally persuaded him from the truth. And the source where all disobedience comes from is out of the word apathy. It literally means for one to lose interest. So in order for Adam to really allow himself to choose against God, he had to first of all become cold with the Lord. And you know how coldness enters into our lives? Subtly. It's a little at a time. A little at a time. I went to bed one morning on fire for God and woke up looking for a release not to be at church. I deserve a break today. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with taking a break. Except your flesh doesn't know where to stop. You give it a day of rest, it'll take another one. You give it a day of rest, and it'll take another one. Because your flesh does not know how to get comfortable with where it's at. My flesh to this day does not know how to be comfortable going in my prayer closet. Now I have different moods daily. Sometimes I go into prayer and it's not a struggle at all. Everything just flows out of me. I get excited. And some days it's like I have to just do everything to carry the load to get into that prayer closet. And I don't want to be there, and I just have an attitude and I just do it anyway. Why? Because I'm not moved by my feelings. I'm moved by what I choose to commit to. I am more in obedience in doing something I don't want to do than doing something I want to do. You want me to say that again? I'm more in obedience when I'm doing something I don't want to do than when I'm doing something I want to do. That's why the beginning of anything is excitement. Man, we all gathered a new kid on the block. I mean, we're all excited and everything. But man, that wilderness walk tells you how much rooted in God you are. When I first started, when I committed to my prayer closet, I was so excited over getting victory over my flesh and the devil and my mind, and I was so excited. And I tell you the story all the time, and I get in my prayer closet, and I'm down there at the apartment, I'll do anything. I'll get mad at people because they interrupt my prayer closet and everything. And after a while, it just really doesn't matter because I just really don't want to go down there. Because your flesh will never know God. Right. The only thing that will ever know God is your soul. Right. That's all that will ever know God. Your flesh doesn't know God. And your flesh has life in it. It has life in it. And that life that is in it only exists through your senses. And it don't want to be around God. Every one of you and I, we possess that. Here's how we know it. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says in verse 14. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. This word here in the Greek for natural is where we get the word psychikos. It literally means that there is a man called natural or psychic that doesn't want anything to do with the Spirit of the things of God. This kind of man is literally, and you might want to write this down, is what we call this natural man, a psychic, which literally is referring to an unbeliever. And so Paul is literally saying an unbeliever cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness unto him. This is not talking about a carnal believer. This is talking about an unbeliever. Because there are three levels that man live on. The first level is in unbelief. Not even connected to the things of God. Then, if you go to chapter 3, and look at verse 1, and Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now I want you to underline the word carnal here. This is a very interesting word. This word is different than in verse 3 for the word carnal. So if you'll go down to verse 3 and underline carnal, you'll find it twice in verse 3, carnal. The word for carnal in verse 3 is different than the word for carnal in verse 1. So we got the writer Paul jumping in verse 14 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, natural man to a carnal believer. And the word for carnal believer, carnal man, is a direct reference to a Christian. Now, are you ready? A Christian who is fleshly. Who is fleshly. Now, if you jump down to verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions." Now, notice this last phrase of this verse. Very interesting. "Are you not carnal and walk as men?" You know, when I first read that, I got to thinking, what in the world is Paul telling me? I'm walking as a man. You guys walk as a man? Am I walking as a man? Why would Paul put that in that verse? We walk as men. I got to thinking, well, Paul, is there anything wrong with that? Well, there is in light of what he's trying to get across to us. Number one, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal." First of all, he tells them something. What does he tell them? First of all, he tells the Corinthian church, "I can't speak to you. I cannot deliver you the word of God in a way that it would feed you spiritually." Right. Why? Because they're fleshly. Fleshly, it means a carnal believer, not an unbeliever. fleshly, as babes in Christ. Then in verse 2, he tells you why. Because he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. And there are Christians today that cannot interpret 1st and 2nd Corinthians. They don't understand the book. That means that church history has put us a notch below carnality. When I teach to even the pastors that are under me in regions, I have to choose my words carefully because pastors are sometimes more ignorant than pew setters. Because they have reached a level where they feel secure in what they know and they think there is no more. Now, they don't think that way, but they end up that way. I told one pastor, I said, my janitor knows more than you and you're a leader of men. I challenge some people when they refuse to take the wings of growth and grow spiritually. All they can handle is milk stuff. And so this word for I spoke unto you as carnal and fed you with milk is because they were still fleshly in nature. They weren't spiritual. Now notice what he goes and says in verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. And he tells them why he knows they're still carnal. Because there's envying and strife and divisions. And are ye not carnal and walk as men? So the church was beginning to get the idea of what Paul was trying to get across to them. In chapter 1, he says, well, I'm of Paul. And another said, no, I'm of Apollos. Someone said, well, Paul even said, thank God I can tell who I baptize in water, or you would have come up with the thought that I even bring salvation apart from Christ. That's how far out the Corinthian church got independent of what God was saying. But yet they were real spiritual. You know, these fruits that he talks about, envying, strife, and divisions, are very interesting. Because I want us to capitalize on this word carnal in verse 3. The word carnal, why is it different than the word carnal in verse 1? Verse 1, he makes a blanket statement, you're fleshly. It means you're more of the flesh than you are spiritual. But in verse 3, he uses a different word, giving a little stronger judgment on them. He says, not only are you fleshly, but you are literally motivated, are you ready, by the nature of flesh. In other words, you're living under that nature of flesh. Whatever flesh tells you, you do. And so he brings up three things, envying, strife, and division. And I said, Paul, why did you use it? He said, these are the foundation, the root core of what tears a church to pieces. Number one, envying is the word jealousy. It means to be moved with zeal, to be moved with zealous or zeal apart from knowledge. It means the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others over yourself. It literally sees what others have that you think belongs to you. It means to be hot or zealous for what another has. It means that when you get into that nature of envying, you're trying to go someplace that somebody else has that you feel that you fit there. Well, that definitely was a Corinthian church. Now, this is not saying that God isn't calling you to what somebody else has, but it's saying that when you have the feelings that create wrong feelings in you, it means that you're not qualified yet for that place because God hasn't put you there. You don't work for position in the house of God. You qualify for it. How do I qualify for it? How you have developed in your attitude. You know the parable of the first shall be last and last shall be first? You know what that's all about? The guy needs workers. So he goes out in the field. And he finds a bunch of guys standing around and he says, "Hey, you guys, how would you like a full day's wage? How would you like to work today?" "Yeah, let's get with it." So he hires these guys at the beginning of the day. The beginning of the day. They all get in there and they're working their little hearts out. Why? They started at 4 o'clock in the morning and they're just working away. And the master of the vineyard seems to think, I got to get some more workers, because if I don't get some more workers, this job ain't going to get done. So he goes out in the middle of the day and he says, "Hey, you guys want a job? Yeah, I'll put you to work. Come on." So these guys, they get in on the midday work situation. After all these years that I've served you, and this is the way I'm treated. Got a problem with that attitude. And so these guys that started in midday, they go and they get right alongside the guys that have been there at 4 a.m. and we're working away. We're working away. Then the master says, "This ain't going to get done. Got to get some more workers. We only got about 2 hours of daylight left, so I got to go." And so he goes out in the streets and he gathers these workers. He says, "You want a job?" "Yeah." He, "Come on, I got work for you." And so they come almost at the end of the day and they start laboring right along the guys that got there at 4 and the guys that got there at noon, and all three of them are working away, you know. And at the end of the day, it's all done. Work's finished. "Well, master, it's time to pay him." He says, "The ones I want to get the full day's wage are the guys that work 2 hours ahead of those that work midday and at 4. If I was a foreman, I'd go, "Master, that's not cool. That is not a cool move to make. Because if you give a full day's wage to the guys that only work 2 hours and finish the job with the others, ahead of those that work from 4 o'clock in the morning to now, and those that came midday, a not cool move." And the master says, "I don't care. I want those who were last to be paid first." You know, that is so cruel. That ain't fair. I read that. I said, that ain't fair. And here you are right behind the guy in front of you to get your salary. And the paymaster pays him a full day's wage. "Hey, wait a minute. How much money did you get there?" "Got a full day's wage for 2 hours of work. Isn't that cool?" And he walks off. And you put your hand out and said, "Huh, surely he's going to give me an extra day's wage on that guy. One day's wage. Wait a minute. Is that all I'm going to get?" "Well, that's all you agreed to work for." Attitude. Attitude. He walks on. And here comes the guy that worked midday. "Well, at least I'm not in that kind of a position, but I'll take a full day's for half a day. At least I'm not like that guy. He had to work the whole day. At least I got a half a day. I still don't understand it. I'm not coming back here ever again, and I'll never work for this guy again. Give me my money." You know what was all what Jesus was teaching? What qualifies you? What qualifies you for ministry? You know what titles are? You know what a title is? You know what a title is? Anybody found out what a title? Some people seem to think title is promotion. And it's not. People who go after titles have got problems. The next word, strife. This is really the word enmity. It means verbal disputing, fighting, quarreling. One who uses words to create an atmosphere of negativity and incitement. An accuser of the negative things not kept quiet but spoken. For effect of fighting and quarreling to divide people. To divide people. Have you ever been around somebody you couldn't get a positive out of them for anything because they're so negative? I mean, you can even find positive and they'll make negative out of positive because that's their nature. You look at them and say, well, when do you ever look at something that's good, positive? That's why a lot of people can't receive the goodness of the Word of God for them personally. That's why a lot of them cannot see righteousness, their own righteousness given to them of the Lord, because they're too busy looking at their own righteousness. You can't see the righteousness of God in you when you look at through yourself. You have to look what belongs to you through the Word of God. And if you can't do that, I guarantee you, you're going to be negative. And you know what? Negative people look for negative people. They don't look for positive people. They look for negative people. Why? Because that's their bunch. You know what? A negative person around a positive person, you know how these two jive? It's like oil and water. They don't mix. That's why a lot of believers do not understand the good Word of God, because they're too negative in their approach to life. Hey, you know what you guys need to settle in yourself right now? There ain't nothing about you that you need. Only God. And I can't figure out why. But it doesn't matter. If this is the way God has accepted me, I don't need to be negative about it. I can be positive about it. You ain't going to get nothing from God by being a negative person. You have to be a positive person in order to survive in the kingdom of God. And the last thing that he talks about is divisions. This is one of the abominations the Lord hates. He hates a Christian that will spread discord among the brethren. He hates it. Because this word means schism, a tearing apart, a disunion. It means to remove from unity, to stand against someone by marking boundaries. That's why people that end up dividing themselves from the body of Christ don't understand. That comes off of that word that literally means accuser. It literally is referring to the fact that when they divide themselves from people, they are not bonding to people. Therefore, they're not under the Spirit of God. They're under the nature of flesh. And I got news for you. You can't take your flesh and put it somewhere. Your flesh has to be dealt with on a daily basis. Your carnal mind has to be delivered daily. And yet many of us just walk through life daily and we don't even deal with our flesh. We seem to think our flesh is speaking to us from God. And yet we can see some fruit about us, but we never point our fingers at ourselves and look for this fruit in us. And yet it can be in us and we can overlook it and find God to justify us in these attitudes. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you only got 10 minutes left? Well, Pastor, how could I get out of this? How could I get out of this dilemma I find myself in? Gosh, I'm glad you asked. I got an answer for you. You guys ready? Write it down. This is really neat. This is really heavy. But it's so cool. Get ready to write it down. Now, don't put your pen away if you think it's going to be real simple. This is a real heavy. This is heavy. And when I say it, you guys go, gee. Think about it. It's heavy. You ready? Two words. Grow up. I don't know about you, but you know who bugs me? Joyce Meyer. She bugs me because she gives you no room to flesh out. Matter of fact, she's the only one I know that if you sit and listen to her, she'll have you laughing your head off while she's cutting you to pieces. Wait a minute. That's me. Because she's been there. She knows what it's like to be discouraged, to be treated wrong, and that's her ministry. Because of what she's went through, she can really affect the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is majorly made up of people, P-E-O-P-L-E. I spelled it right, didn't I? Mean spelling. My wife says, how can you understand Greek and not English? P-E-O-P-L-E. That's what the church is basically made up of, its people. And I guarantee you, every one of us have a different background. So I guarantee every one of us can find an excuse for where we're at. She won't let you do that. No, we're all in the same basket together. Different backgrounds, different raising, but we're all in the same basket together. We're all a bunch of fruit nuts that can literally think negatively. They can all go in the off direction with the kingdom of God. And so he tells them, he says, for while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but minister by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God makes things grow. And so if the knowledge of God gets into our life, it don't matter who is speaking into it. If it's causing God to make us grow, what matter does it make who you're sitting under? What? Because it's the knowledge of God that causes us to grow. That's why a lot of Christians are not growing today. They're under ministers that do not preach the Word of God. They preach their church. They try to get you committed into unity. And all that is part of the kingdom of God. But if that is your final resource, is the glory of some minister, you got problems growing spiritually, because you'll have a preference more over the minister than what the minister is giving. What is a minister? Well, if you want titles, do you know that the apostle is the lowest man on the totem pole? Because in order for you to fulfill the office of an apostle, you got to be a real servant. You got to be a love slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of people that want position, but they don't want to earn it lawfully. Every conflict you come into is the opportunity to disobey. And I'm going to close with this thought in mind very clearly. How many of you know that Jesus sows the Word? Do you know what that means, that when the Word is sown you? You know, did you know that when I made a decision to follow the call of God in my life, did you know that Satan opened every possible door conceivable for me to enter that rather than where God wanted me? Matter of fact, where I thought God was telling me to go gave me the greatest opposition, and I thought God was really opening a door for me. I'll never forget, God told me to go to a specific place and grow up under a particular ministry. We went to move to Eugene. Sue and I had been talking about moving to Eugene and everything. We were excited over the Word of God. We traveled all the way to Oak Ridge, Oregon for the Word of God. And we had to make a decision. We're drying up here. There ain't no Word here. And so we're going to have to... We've been... For 2 years, we traveled back and forth in a little Ford Mustang. Why? Well, I wouldn't do it today with the gas prices the way they are. I'd pray some minister in my area, man. Be $1,000 a weekend. You have to be real committed to the Word of God. But anyway. Oh, was it a Pinto? Yeah, it was a Pinto. That's right. How many of you remember Pintos? Do they still exist? Pintos are gone. They're dead in the water, aren't they? Yeah. They're extinct. Even when they were here, they stunk. But anyway. Pinto. That's right. It was a Pinto. What's a pinto? A little pinto horse, a little horse car. But when we made the decision, we're moving to Eugene. I go to work. Bob Nordstrom, NORAD Advertising, down there in Puyallup. And he says, Jan, he says, I want to talk to you. I says, oh, what'd I do? You know, you always feel called to the principal's office. He said, no, I got a proposition to make. Oh, really? What's that? He says, let's get in a car and go for a drive. So we got in the car and go for a drive. He says, I want you to go into partnership with me. And I looked at him and I said, what are you talking about? Remember that, Sue? Partnership? Yeah. Bob, I don't have no money. You don't need any. He says, matter of fact, I'll just give you half of my business. Give me? Well, in my mind was thinking, does my paycheck change? Right? I mean, hey, you're just a little flunky, and all of a sudden you have the business. I said, what does all that involve? He says, well, number one, he says, your pay will increase. And I said, really? Yeah. And he says, you love the Lord, don't you? And I says, yeah. And he said, well, this could only be from God. Because somebody is moving on my heart. This guy's not even saved. And you know what he's doing? He's using my zeal for God to convince me to do what I need to do. And I says, well, Bob, why are you picking on me? He says, well, that's when I was young. He says, you're young and I have need of your youth. And he says, I will be blessed and you will be blessed. And I wanted to say to him, how much does my salary increase? But you know what? I didn't want to know. Because I wanted to keep my mind clear if I was still supposed to go to Eugene. And so I come home and share it with Sue. And Sue says, I think you were pretty much in agreement with us still going, if I remember right. She said, I think we're supposed to go to Eugene. So the next day I go back and I say, well, you know, just how much do you own, Bob? And so he laid it all out, what he's in charge of. And I'm going, wow. And I said, well, what does that increase my salary? He says, well, 50% of what I take. And I said, well, how much are you earning a month? He said, well, roughly, if I split it with you, I'd roughly take home $14,000 a month. That's 30 years ago. Hey. You know how I went back in my prayer closet? God, thank you for opening this door. Thank you so much for stopping me from going to Eugene. Oh, I would have missed the will of God if I'd have been under the flesh. The problem is I had too much prayer time behind me. I was up to 6 and 7 hours a day in the Holy Ghost, and I had a fire, a hunger for God I couldn't quench. And I needed to be there in order for me to hear God. Because that kind of money just don't speak on fruitless trees. That's a money tree. You ever run into a money tree? I found a money tree. Well, did you know something? That wasn't the only time an opportunity came my way. Another time came my way. I went up. First of all, it wasn't another opportunity, but another door opened as I was seeking the Lord to go to Oklahoma too. I won't get in. Yeah, after Oklahoma. That was another one. What I'm trying to say in all this is that when you follow God, Satan is not going to leave you alone. He is going to resist you at every opportunity he can for you to fulfill the call of God. Now, it is not an easy street to follow God. It is a tough road to hoe, and it takes a spiritual man to follow God. Hello? And to be obedient is almost, you have to abandon everything to be obedient to God. Because when God asks you to do something, you know, these Christians walk around and say, boy, God is just kicking doors open right and left. Well, how much were you suffering for Jesus? Oh, he's seen to it. I don't have to. You're more than likely going in the wrong direction. Because even when the Bible says that when even the Word is sown to you, He's going to do everything He can to keep you from bonding to that Word. Right. Why? He's going to look for something in you that will turn you off to the Word. Yeah. Make you disobedient. Well, we're going to stop there. Did you guys get something? Didn't this encourage you to know that the way that you thought you were supposed to go isn't probably the way God wants you to? Hallelujah. Now, God spoke to me. And I don't know how to do this. But He spoke to me very plainly at the beginning of this service that I have several people that I have specific things I want to talk to them about. Specific things I want to talk to him about. And he says, as you look out over the audience, I amplify them to you. You call them up here, for I have a word for them. I said, okay, Lord, is it good or bad? He said, I would not give them anything that would be bad to embarrass them. I would give them the words that they need to help give direction for the next step they need to take. Are you following me? This is what I felt in my spirit. Several of you, the ones that the Lord will show, you have been discouraged. And the Lord wants to encourage you to be strengthened with His Word, to continue in the things of the Lord and to hold steadfast. Now, here's what He told me. He said, this is what you're doing. And I want you to remember this. He said, you have had the circumstances of life so heavy on you that you can only see in the present circumstance rather than looking beyond that to capture direction. How many got what I just said? The Lord told me specifically that the reason you can't see His leading is because you've been intoxicated by your present situation. People, I'm moving in the Spirit right now. How many understand what I'm saying? I'm not under the anointing where I'm falling around. I know what I'm doing because the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of this service to do this at the end. Your present situation makes it very difficult for you to see beyond where you're at for the leading of the Spirit in your life. So when I go and I ask you to come up here, keep that in mind because I'm going to pray with you. And evidently the Lord wants you to get your eyes off of where you're presently at and get it focused on the direction that He wants you to go. He wants you in peace. He wants you to freed up from the present stress and pressure you're under so you can get back into a place of shalom, peace, so He can show you very clearly where He wants you to go. Does that make sense to you? You knew. Dave, this is not a sign that you're in rebellion. How many of you know? I want to make that clear. This is on your phone slipped open. There you go. Okay. This, what I'm doing today is the ones I'm picking out simply by the grace of God that you will be illuminated to me. In other words, you'll come out at me. And the reason the Lord is doing this is because of the very word I gave you, that He wants you not to look at your present situation as much as where you need to go in His leading. How many got that? Not that you're doing anything wrong. This word today is to encourage you that even though things look like they are, God is looking beyond that. Remember I told you I had a visitation of the Lord in the park? He said things as though what I was seeking Him for wasn't even a problem. That's the way God is. He doesn't go by what you see. He goes by where He's taking you. How many know that? Hallelujah. Sethi, up here. You knew you were going to get called in. Yes. Hallelujah. See, that's the way a lot of us do. We get under that and we get discouraged. We want to give up. Ken and Kathy Francis, get up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I don't call you, don't you feel bad? Don't you feel bad at all? It means you don't need it. Probably every one of you here says, but I need it. You know, hallelujah. Mike, you and your little wife. She's your wife now. Always look at you guys as still boy, girlfriend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ramses, come on up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want your mother to come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gary, Charlotte, come up there. Debbie, hallelujah. 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 You guys don't need to look at the audience. Look that way, you guys. This is for you guys personally. I'm going to get rid of them in a minute. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. 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 Are you guys excited? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know you two, but come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't know you personally, but I do know that the Lord knows you. Hallelujah. 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 Where is Kenny? Hey, Kenny, you're needed down here. Grace, you can come up if you want to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dino and Mindy, come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go. When you jump out at me, then that's what the Lord is having me do. Is that all right with you guys? Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You guys going to praise the Lord with me? Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on up here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to give everybody the opportunity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tim, Jenny, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, I'm open. Praise the Lord. 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 Leona, praise the Lord. Yes, come up here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Father, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. I'm open, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Now, how many of you remember the word I gave you? Why you're up there? How many of you know? Because the Lord is told me that when He amplifies somebody to me, it's because you're overwhelmed by what you're seeing in the natural presently, but He wants you to look beyond that for His leading. You know, a lot of times we miss the leading of God because we go so much by what we see, you know, rather than what we know. As a leading of the Spirit of God. Dwayne, go on up there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know you two, but I think the Lord wants you up there as well. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else, Lord? Hallelujah. I want to be fair to everybody. Hallelujah. My. Hallelujah. Shows me that my church is being hit. Hallelujah. Hitting by the devil. Hallelujah. We're not going to allow that. We're not going to allow it, are we? This is the Spirit of God, people, here. This is the Spirit of God to encourage these people. Hallelujah. God wants His people on course. God wants His people led of the Spirit of God. He wants His people moving in the right direction. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That lady next to you, Terry, who is that? Huh? Is that your mother? Hallelujah. Well, I don't know your mom, but I sense an urgency in my spirit to pray for you for physical healing. Hallelujah. And I don't understand what it is about you. Because I don't know your situation. But listen, God told me it's very, very needful, very critical that you receive healing today. Or you ain't going to be around much longer. Now, maybe I'm out of it. Maybe I'm wrong, sweetheart. But God told me to tell you that before I called you up here and lay hands on you, I want an usher over here. She's not going to go up there. Hello, people, you be patient with me. You know, you're not on a time clock. You want a move of God in our church. You want the gifts of the Spirit begin to work. Then you need to be patient. Hallelujah. I know we're all on a time schedule. And I know we're bumper to bumper wherever we go. But we need to take and cut back a little bit and let God be God. Honey, God is telling me to tell you that if you're going to get up here, every step you take, you got to believe that you're going to receive His divine healing now. He bought for it, He paid for it, and you didn't qualify for it. He qualified it for you. Do you believe that? Now, it's important that you respond because you believe what I'm saying. There's no doubt. Now, I don't know nothing about you. Are you following me? And God is going to touch you today. Do you believe that? Stand right here. Hallelujah. Right now. What day is it today, people? 6th of May. Sunday. At 12:15, God told me to lay hands on you and you're going to drive that sickness or disease or whatever it is out of your body, and you got to believe Him for that. Do you understand? Your authority is what causes God to act. All you have to do is say, I'm willing for that healing. Do you want to live long?
Yes.
Say it with me. I want to live long.
I want to be a witness.
I want to give God a testimony. Okay, here goes.
Okay.
Father, right now, by the power of God, oh, I curse whatever. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to feel a burning sensation begin in your body. Hallelujah. Oh, Russia. Totally and completely gone. Hallelujah. Oh, Roshete. Oh, Roshete. Hallelujah. Okay, congregation. Sit tight for a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you know that you're up here for one purpose? How many of you know why you're here? Just raise your hand if you know why you're here. If you don't know why you're here, then don't raise your hand. But if you know why you're here, get your hand up so that I know I'm not missing it. The Lord told me to tell you that you need to take your eyes off of your present condition and put your eyes forward. Don't look at the surrounding around you. Look to the horizon for God's leading. Because every one of you, evidently the Lord showed me that every one of you are in a very difficult place where you're at. And that the best thing to do is get your eyes off of what you see and put your eyes on what you have to believe. Amen? Do you mean business with God when you come up here? Do you really believe that? You see, you know what? My problem as a pastor is that sometimes I get my eyes so much on what is presently taking place. I forget the direction that God is leading me. And my wife yesterday, boy, she nailed me. It was Friday. She nailed me. She was watching our program on TV and she was shouting and enjoying the message. Turned, she said, "You know what? You ought to do what you preach." And that taught me something. That's right. Even a pastor can be so involved with what's going on around him and doesn't have any answers that we seem to get our eyes off of his leading us. God is always leading you. He's always leading me. The trouble is we get discouraged and we want to give up because we get so bogged down with what's around us presently. And we got to just shake that off. So before this congregation and everybody, this is what I want you to do. Are you ready? Shake just like a puppy dog. Shake. Come on. I'm going to shake off what I see. I'm going to shake off what I see. Get all the water off just like a shaggy dog in water. Y'all got it? Shake it off. Now, I want you to say this with me. Father, thank you specifically picking me out to tell me this. I will take my eyes. That ain't going to cut it.
Thank you, God. Yeah.
You got to be bold. It's there you go. Take my eyes. Take my eyes. You guys know how to say eyes? That's English for eyes. Take my eyes off of what I presently see. Father, I open my heart for what you got ahead. Whoo. Do you guys believe that? If you believe that, put your hands up. Hallelujah, Father. In the name of Jesus, we don't go by what is presently around us. We go by what the Word of God says about us, where you're trying to lead us. And we as a church, we're going there in the name of Jesus. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what I see. I know where I'm going. Amen? You guys receive that. God told me to call you out publicly. Okay, church, take a look at him. This is a testimony before everybody here. They're going to quit looking at what's around them and look forward to the future. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Is Corin Butler here? I didn't see him this morning. Corin, you should have been up here. That's all right. You already received where you're at. But I was trying to look for you. Yes, your wife too. She swatted at you. She didn't want you to say that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. See, I couldn't see. I was looking for you because you were magnified in my mind. And so I got everybody now because I'm looking over the congregation. Huh? Hallelujah. Thank you, Corin and Terry. That what I said today. You should have been up here to begin with. I just didn't see you. You receive it, right? Okay. Now, you guys ready for this? Turn around to the congregation. And say, congregation, I'm blessed. I know where I'm headed. Because I took my eyes off of where I'm at. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much today for this wonderful congregation. I thank you for a move of the Holy Ghost. I thank you that you had specifics to speak into people's life, specific people's life, and they're going to have victory beyond this point in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
You guys can go home. I want you back here tonight.